Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
And both of my high schoolers are involved in this. And so we're at practice Wednesday night, and I was talking. There's about three conversations going in the room in the courthouse, and I needed to get my daughter's attention. So I said, Lainey, thinking that that should be enough. And, you know, it's kind of funny. There's an interesting thing that happens with parents and their children in public. Oftentimes, your offspring likes to disown you in public. Is that just a me thing? Or I get that you want some separation. They can sure be lovey-dovey when they need the ATM, you know. They know your name there, and they can find you in a crowded room. You know, hey, I need a 20. Can you spot me a 20? Can you answer me? But it's kind of funny when you get in a public space, it changes a little bit, and I get that. And you know, I try to respect their boundaries, and I'm too old and too whatever. I don't care. I've passed the point of worrying if I'm cool or not. That ship has passed a long time ago. So I decided to say it a bit louder. And so I called out a second time, a bit louder, and still no response. I was like, well, I know you heard this time. So I said it a third time, loud enough that someone next to her nudged her and said, hey. And she turned and looked and said, what? And I was like, did you hear me? She said, and this is the thing that stuck with me. She said, I assumed you weren't talking to me. All right. Now, this interaction, you know, it's kind of funny, but this interaction really stuck with me this week, because all of a sudden I began to think about our communication with God, and more appropriately, how we respond when He tries to communicate with us. Because the fear is, I think a lot of times we're missing things because of that same statement. I assumed you weren't talking to me. So I kind of want to delve into this, because in the last part of the book of Daniel, chapters 10 through 12, it's kind of crazy. Again, there's a lot of symbolism, and because in chapters 10 through 12, hopefully you've read that, and you understand that it's about these earthly kingdoms that rise and fall, and certainly there's a foreshadowing and a forecasting of the Persian Empire and Greece and Alexander the Great and the Ptolemaic and the Seleucid Empires for you history buffs. That's all foretold and foreshadowed in these last chapters in the book of Daniel, and it's all leading up to this king of the north who comes and invades Jerusalem and sets himself up in the temple above God and destroys and kills. And some believe that this was Antiochus killing Jews around 160 BC. Some people think that it was about the Roman Empire and the destruction of the temple, killing Jesus, and then the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. The problem is it doesn't match any one of them perfectly. There's an awful lot of symbolism and an awful lot of things close, but none of them match really perfectly. So some people think that this is just looking solely ahead to the very end. I mean, when it all concludes and we have the second coming of Christ. Now, certainly my take is it can be all three. God's word is big enough that it can speak on multiple levels. And so... that's the specifics, but again, I don't want to look at the specifics. I want to look at what we can take practically in our lives to walk out here in this next week and this next month and this next year in this season. And here's the good news, that in the midst of disturbing things, and man, all you got to do is turn on the news or read the newspaper to know we live in disturbing times. Amen. Some disturbing things are going around us. Here's the good news. In the midst of all this stuff, God wants to communicate with you. God wants to communicate with you. That's my first point today. God still wants to communicate with us. Each one of us is unique and has a unique relationship with the Father. My relationship with my son is vastly different than my relationship with my oldest daughter, and vastly different than my relationship with my youngest daughter. All three of them, I have a unique relationship. I have unique idiosyncrasies inside. I talk differently with them. There's some consistencies. I love them. But they all have very, very interesting personalities and very unique personalities. And everybody in this room does. Look around. Everybody's unique is one word. It's a polite word we could use. So as much as we are all unique, I mean, God doesn't speak to everybody the way that he spoke to Daniel. He doesn't. He doesn't speak to everybody. I'm grateful that he doesn't speak to me the way he spoke with Hosea. I wouldn't live with that too well. Those of you who know Hosea understand what I'm talking about. I like to swim. I'm glad he doesn't communicate with me like he communicated with Jonah. There are also, everybody say also, some similarities in how God talks to us. And the number one similarity, and we find from Daniel, is God's word. God speaks through his word. As much as Daniel, as we've read in the past several weeks, God was giving Daniel dreams. He was giving Daniel visions. But Daniel went to the scriptures. And the scriptures spoke to him. In fact, when he didn't understand dreams and visions, he went to his word. Now, that's a principle that we talked about last time that we were together. Not last week, but the week before. God's word still speaks, everybody. God's word is still relevant. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13 tells us this. The word of God is living. In fact, let's all read this together. If you can see the screen up there, let's just read this with me. Ready? For the word of God is living and, now let's read it, but let's really kind of do it slow and put some emphasis and let these words sink in. Ready? For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and of the discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. In other words, God's word is relevant in every situation in your life. His principles are still there. God also speaks to us through circumstances and through people. Although I will tell you, it drives me crazy when God uses people to talk to me. Doesn't that irk you sometimes? When someone comes up and they actually know something to tell you? I'd rather get it from the word, or I'd rather get it from the circumstances, lest someone come up and tell. And I don't like being that guy, which is weird for a preacher. I really don't enjoy that. People come up after, well, Pastor, you stepped on my toes. I'm not like, yeah. I don't sit here and think, how can we get Sandy this week? Well, let's see. I think this about Sandy, so I'm going to write a sermon this August. Okay, Sandy. No, that's not how my week goes. God's word gets us all, and it gets down. I mean, that's kind of, you know, almost humiliating. We're all naked and exposed in the eye. I have shame about that. And yet, in God's eyes, He goes down to the nitty gritty. He understands. And His word speaks to us today. It still speaks to us today. Now, He does use godly mentors. He does use circumstances. Sometimes God opens doors. There's no denying that God opens doors. And there's also no denying that God closes doors. But let me tell you this, is that God also uses parents. And perhaps that's like a soapbox point for me today. In light of all the atrocities, the tragedies that we've seen in our nation. So parents, to all the parents here, let me give you an encouragement. This is not dumping on. This is an encouragement. And the encouragement is this. God has given you a fantastic, a wonderful job. a fantastic, wonderful, it's a charge, it's a blessed job. It's this, it's a responsibility to raise your children in the fear of the Lord. Now that does not mean that you offload that responsibility to the church to do it. The church is not here to take your position as a parent. Can I get an amen? The church is here to partner with, to walk alongside. That's the whole orange thing. And if you don't shake your head, I'll bring Helen up here and let her orange everybody. And we'll just orange juice. She's got honorary citizenship in Florida. So for me, and this is my soapbox moment. We as a culture and we as a society, we remove prayer from our, we throw prayer out. We make that a bad thing. We throw out God's word. We throw out His values. We throw out God's morality. We remove it from our culture. We remove it from our schools. We kick it out of our homes. We allow our students and our kids to satiate themselves with violent media, to fill themselves, to think it's fun to see how many different ways that someone can take a knife and stab or to maim or to shoot or to blow up or to kill or to destroy. And then when they do it, we act oh so shocked that it happened. And we have the audacity to ask the question, why? That's my soapbox. There's commonality in a lot of these things, and it's what's happening. There's a war against family. There's a war against godly mentorship. There's a war against fathers being fathers and mothers being mothers in the home coming together. So gang, understand this, God disciplines those whom He loves. And God's Word teaches parents to discipline their children and to bring them up with love. Everybody say love. With honor and with respect. The big word that is missing in our society today. Because somehow respect is offensive. Because it sets up an inequality. There's inequality all over the place. I am less than God. Period. End of discussion. I willingly bow my knee and submit to Him. I bow my knee and submit to the eldership of this church. I have no problem. I bow my knee and submit. Respect. Discipline. And it's following out. And as we remove these things from the cornerstone of our culture is crumbling. And there's a simple solution. You ready for the simple solution? God's Word. It has been the same. Now, a word about our circumstances. Our circumstances are always less than God. Just because a door opens doesn't mean that God is speaking to you. It has to be less than God's Word. Because I got to tell you, there's been times that there's been doors that opened that I really wanted. Anybody ever really want something, but you know it's not good for you? Come on, if that's been you, if you really have wanted something and the opportunity was there, but you know it wasn't good for you, can I just see your hand for a second? Yeah. And you see, this is one of those things that's happening. We see, I'm tired of having conversations with people, and as I speak with them, they're saying, but it makes me feel so good. I get it. Is it good for you? Or, let's forget that one. How does it line up with God's Word? And sadly, we're at this teetering block in this culture where we take our personal preference and how it makes us feel, and we think that that has more weight than what God's Word says. Gang, in the end, it's leading to destruction. So, here's some things that God does. Again, He speaks to us through circumstances, He speaks to us through people, and He also speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. Now, that's the difficult thing that we see with Daniel. He gives us, sometimes the Holy Spirit will give us a witness of peace or give us an affirmation. And we have to be open to that. And I believe that God still, now this is, some of you are going to think I'm weird. I still believe that God speaks through His Holy Spirit. I don't believe that we have come to perfection. If I look across, I don't believe we have come to perfection. Therefore, the gifts of the Spirit, the moving of the Spirit are still valid. And again, this is unique, but there have been key moments in my life, and the elders can attest to this. There have been key moments in my life where God has given me literally dreams, and I don't understand them, and I'll come and I'll share with the elders that there's an attack coming, there's something that happens, and they have been huge, and we pray, and it is foretold big life-changing events that have happened in the past 12 years of this church. And some people think, well, God doesn't speak to me that way. Okay, it doesn't mean he doesn't speak to you. Some people, I've talked with some of our church members who God speaks to them when they get out in their garden and they start getting their hands in the dirt and they just feel the anointing of God just make things click. Some people, God speaks to them as they're spending time with their parents or they're spending time. I know a guy who works, and like when he starts doing auto mechanics, it's like things click. You know what? Here's the point that I was trying to get to. Let's not do the, I didn't think you were speaking to me. Or no. I assumed you weren't speaking to me. Boy, if I could, that's the big takeaway for everyone here today. God is, he wants to speak with you. Don't assume God doesn't or God won't speak with you. You know, another reason that we miss the Holy Spirit's talking is we don't like the message. How many of you know that someone was going to tell something to you that wasn't favorable and so you avoid them? I know that, I'm just going to keep away from them. So you try to keep as much distance as you can and distraction and act like you didn't hear them. We do that with God. My dad was a chemist, and I hated chemistry. And so in chemistry, I would sit there, and they'd begin talking about formulas and moles and this and that, and exothermic and endothermic reactions, and my eyes would glaze over. And as they were talking, if you take 3 moles of sulfur and you blah, 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 I'm like, you know, kind of like some of us right now, where we glaze over and our eyes just kind of glaze over. And because here's why. And man, this will help somebody today. Because I assume I don't understand it, so I check out. Many of us, that's why we're stuck with God. We assume we don't understand it or can't understand it or are meant to, that we're somehow second-class Christians, and so we just downshift, glaze over, and just go through. Bam. I want to encourage you today to say this. God still speaks. You know what? My strong point wasn't chemistry, but I had strong points in math, and I had strong points in music, and I had strong points in other things. Now, Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, because we've got to get this plane up and land it. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, and the word was, what's that word? So the word was, okay. And it, now this is really odd. It says, so a word came to Daniel. It was revealed to Daniel. And it says, the word was true and it was a great conflict. Very odd sentence. A very odd sentence that God would reveal a word that was true and full of conflict. Well, wait a minute. This is what I'm saying. Point number two. There is a war against truth. We live in a day and we live in an age, and I believe it lines up that the last days. It is a sign of the end days that truth will be assaulted. There will be a war to reject God's truth. And gang, we're there. We are there. Because God's word is truth. Now think about this. This statement, God's word is truth. John 17:17. Jesus says this, sanctify them. In other words, set them apart in the truth. And then Jesus says, your word is truth. He didn't say your word is true. Please, you linguistic people, take a breath and listen to this. Some people say God's word is true. That is incorrect. Here's why. To say something is true means it aligns with the truth. In other words, it has to align with something greater. To say something is the truth means that everything that is true has to align with that. God's word is not just true. God's word is truth. And everything that has to be true has to align with the truth. Did you track with me on that? I know. It's an important concept. Something can be true, but it's lesser. Truth is the thing that you hold everything else. And so it says God's word is truth. Now, again, this is a sign of the end times that there's a conflict. And what I'm about to say, Boy, I get it. There's no way that I can say this that's not politically charged. And if, and this might be offensive to some, please don't leave angry. Let's sit down and let's reason about this. So I'm about to say something that I know will be controversial to some. But this is just one of the signs. And so I'm trying to give you a commentary to say why we are in the last days and that there is a war, that God's word is true and there's a great conflict. Matthew chapter 10, verse 6. Jesus said, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female." And now we live in a day, in an age, in a society that says, "I choose to make myself." That literally, whatever truth this is, I have my truth. That is like a huge watchword that is going around in our society right now, is relative truth. That I decide my truth and I live according to my truth. And you know what? You can do that. You can go through your life here with that understanding. But what happens when your truth, which is your truth, a small t, conflicts with God's truth, the true? In my lifetime, every time, 100% of the time that my life has been in conflict with God's word, God has been right 100% of the time. So, gang, there's a war against truth. We're seeing it play out all over the place. And the bottom line is, we don't get to decide what truth is. God decides what truth is because God's word is true. And so we're in the midst of this war on truth. And here's what Daniel does. Praise. Daniel chapter 10, verses 2 through 14. "In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat, nor wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing back of the great river that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen." He talks about having this encounter, and he's scared, and this angel talks to him, and they have this entire thing. Let's go on to verse 10. Drop the next slide there, if you would, please. "And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my knees and said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For now I have been sent to you.' And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. And he said to me, 'Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard, because and I have come because of your words.'" So, the very moment that Daniel humbled himself and prayed, did God hear? What day are we in? We're in day 24. So wait a minute. So God heard, but there was a delay? And that's what checks a lot of us out. A lot of us are like, "Well, God, you failed me. Because I needed you to tell me this, I needed you to reveal this, and it didn't happen in this moment." Going on verse 13, here's why. "The prince of the kingdom of Persia," this is a spiritual principality, this is a demonic force, "withstood me for 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. And he came and came to make you understand what has happened to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come." In other words, here's my third point. Satan wants to disrupt your communication with God. Daniel prayed. God heard. God sent an answer. And Satan got in the way. How does Satan try to deal with us today? Three ways. He distracts us. Anybody ever been distracted when you tried to press into God? It's amazing to me how many people need to text and call me when I go to study and pray. Forbes published a 2014 study that this is for all of you workers. 80% of employees waste between 30 minutes to 2 hours of work on social media or texting of their workday. 1/4, 25% of your workday on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, texting. You know, some people, seriously. So if this is you, I'm calling it out. If you have to wake up in the morning and the first thing you do is check your Twitter feed to see if somebody said something about you or about something you said, maybe, just maybe, our priorities that. So we get distracted. And I'm seriously, do you need... I assume you didn't want to talk to me. I want to know what everyone else is saying about me. I need to know what everyone is saying about me. But what God is saying to me is secondary. Here's my message to us all today. God wants to communicate with you. And sometimes we're assuming He doesn't. And so we're not making ourselves available. Is that fair to say, gang? I hope that's not offensive, but I really want to communicate that. So, distraction, divided attention, interruptions. The other thing he tries to do is discouragement, because sometimes things in life take time. There are times where we have to wait. I hate waiting. I can't stand waiting. I'm the only one in the room who hates waiting. The other thing I hate is silence. So, I mean, the worst thing someone can do to me is give me the silent treatment. Because you know what? I'm having 50 million conversations that are probably worse than the one that would be had. Anybody else like that? It's like, yeah, someone did. My wife doesn't give me, you know, where she doesn't talk to me or something. I'm like, oh, yeah, she's thinking this. Oh, yeah. And it might be she's just busy. And then she comes home. Ah, what did I do? I don't know. You didn't talk to me. So that's the problem. Yeah. Okay, so when we have these times, you have to learn to press through the silence. Don't lose heart. Daniel went through 21 days of praying and fasting and not eating, and he didn't lose heart. That's help for us. And finally, the third thing that Satan wants to do to disrupt your communication with God is he wants to destroy the truth. He wants to destroy the fact that God wants to, he wants to take away God's word. He wants to erode it. And our society, we are there, gang. We are there. They want to pervert and to twist the message so that it is no longer truth. We see that going along in theological circles all across our nation right now. It's already swept through Europe and it's left a big, big, huge hole in the community. I mean, scripture is no longer held as sacred in most of the mainline denominations in Europe. And it's happening here in the United States as well. Gang, we got to wake up and hold on to the truth. Just because it doesn't gel with modern philosophy doesn't mean that the truth is no longer the truth. I want to tell you to, and I can't use this word now because it's been, build a wall around your time with God and make Satan pay for it. We're going to build a wall, and the devil's going to pay for it. It's going to be a big wall. You're going to love it. Everyone's going to love it. And the gates of hell will not prevail. So. Please remind me to take that off of the archives, John. Ouch. Now my Twitter feed's going to blow up. Okay. Last point, because I know it's been late. You know, I'm sorry. This sermon, I told Renita, I said, this is going to be a long sermon. And I apologize for that. I've really wrestled with how to end this. Final point. This is why truth is important. I've worked with people through 12-step programs. I've worked with people who just had great will. I've worked with people who've had drug addictions, who had sexual addictions, I've worked with people who've been abused, whose parents haven't parented them. I've never seen anybody overcome without God's truth. I mean, overcome. John 8, 31 through 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if, conditional sentence, if you abide, in other words, if you remain where? In my word, which is the truth, you are truly, there's truth again, my disciples, and you will know the truth. Know is relationship word. You will be in relationship with the truth, and the truth will do what? Marriage is on the rocks. There's a prescription in God's word. You're struggling with depression. You're struggling with anxiety. There's a prescription in God's word. It's not that God won't use other things. Don't forget the truth. Gang, God is still talking. Please, 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 please don't assume that he wasn't talking to you. Stand to your feet. Let's pray.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offer for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.